Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning and for our brothers and sisters who have come to worship together. Open our hearts and minds to hear your word, Lord. Be with us this day. In your name, amen. The theme of Proverbs is to communicate and pass on wisdom of the believer. Wisdom in the life of the believer. Wisdom is knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. Reading from Psalms 1, starting at verse 7. Proverbs 1, starting at verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My children, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. All true knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To be in fear of the Lord is to recognize his mighty powers and his holiness, to stand in awe before him. I didn't recognize how important that was to realize that and to be able to verbalize that until one of my really neat neighbors, who is Jewish, said, "Why would you want to be in a church where you fear the Lord?" And I had the opportunity, oh no, it means to be in awe of him, to recognize his holiness, to recognize the Lord as our creator and redeemer. When we become familiar with God, we develop a fear to displease him or to disobey him. It's not panic or terror, but it does come with a suggestion of consequences. And many times when we do wrong, there are consequences. Solomon learned throughout his life that there was a vast difference between worldly knowledge and godly knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, Paul is making an absolute statement against any knowledge that takes precedence over the Lord. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. We need to turn to God. When everything is in its proper place, we will fear the Lord, obtain knowledge, and enjoy his wise instruction. His instruction is good. Why do we need to listen to our fathers and mothers as they share about their faith? I read this appropriate response to that question. It is because God intends for us to learn of him through them. If you watch television and listen to the dominant voices in our society, you will hear the stories encouraging you to make your own path as their commentaries try to influence you. Of course, you see what this brings when you look at society today, the direction that many people are going. It's sad, and it's scary to watch the news. Proverbs 1:23. Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. What happens when we turn to God's guidance? Something wonderful. You may not see it now. You may see it now. You may see the wonderful happenings because of God's wishes in a week, in a month. It may not be you that sees the good happening. It may be the next generation that sees the good happening. The Holy Spirit, the personification of wisdom. He wants us to turn away from foolishness, so he can be poured out among us through the Spirit, and so that he can teach us. Each time we turn from ourselves and the wisdom of this world, the Holy Spirit is waiting to make known God's word to us. Read his Bible. Listen to others who believe. Wisdom is found when God's Spirit is poured out on us and we come to know the word of God. In that moment, we know his wisdom. For me, it always seems that God is there saying, when I feel panicked, don't worry. And I always think of that, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Some of you may get, don't talk before you realize what you're going to say. Some of you may get, oh, I might want to take a nap before I try to handle that situation. Listen, feel his spirit, and know what he wants you to do. He wants you to follow him. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Sometimes little by little, their lives are taken over and they don't even realize it. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Our challenge is to learn and to live accordingly to the Lord's will, so that our lives are built on Jesus Christ. Beginning with a strong foundation, we can trust in him. When we speak and act and show obedience rather than complacency in response to Jesus' word, believers must seek first the kingdom of God. If we lead different lifestyles at different times during different circumstances, which many people fall into in our society, their real foundations are hidden, but in times of storms, their true foundations are exposed. Builders were interested, the two builders from the parable of the wise and foolish builders were interested in building a secure home near each other. One, probably knowing the possibility of storms, built quickly to create the most beautiful home he could near the beach. He probably took lots of builder shortcuts. I asked my mom and dad, a few years ago when we built our house, we were the last house in the development built. I said, okay, give me all the builder shortcuts you think that they used in our house. Just a few. The company had sold our topsoil, and so come to the last house, we got rocks for our yard. In the attic, the firewall that is supposed to go to the top was about a foot lower. Didn't even reach the top of the wall in the attic. The fireplace, a piece that was supposed to be secure for exhaust, had fallen down. That led to problems, and they had to come back, take the fireplace out, put it back together. We noticed it was tilted. They had to come back and put the fireplace together again. These builder shortcuts were for them to get ahead. Don't spend too much time. Don't spend too much money. But in the end, it ended up costing them more. It ended up that their company had to spend more time fixing our house. This type of believer, a cover-up believer, may at times have a poor attitude and possibly deny Scripture. If those builders truly cared about their work or even cared about us and our family, they would have done a better job the first time. Be aware of this type of believer. They can be very sly and they can enter into your house through the back door. The other builder, knowing about the weather, built first by creating a deep and sturdy foundation on the rocks. He learned from past experience building homes. He probably thought it through and discussed with other builders prior to building his home. He probably sought instructions and even turned to the Bible and prayed to the Lord to have a safe home. He probably shared and listened with others. The builder had a very good attitude toward the doctrine, toward his blueprints. There was a set guideline that Jesus had spoken of that he would follow. He prayed to his Father in heaven. The builder was obedient to the foundation that Jesus had provided. Jesus Christ was his foundation. So again, these are things that we can rely on as well. Let's go back. Standing on the rock of Jesus. Standing on the rock of Jesus. Have set guidelines. Know what Jesus has spoken. Have a good attitude. Shine with his love. Have Jesus in your heart. Make sure others know that you have Jesus in your heart. Seek instruction from the Bible, sharing and listening with others. And learn from the past. Learn from the past. As a divorced mother of two, I was blessed when I moved into a new home. I was very nervous, but when I did move into the new neighborhood, there were a Christian family right across the street and a Christian family up the hill from me. Boy, were they amazing. Supportive, listening, offering to help when I needed help. You know, once our houses are built, it becomes difficult to notice those differences, the things that aren't quite right, the faults that are not obvious. But they are there, and they are ready to collapse during a storm. So take a step back and build your life on what Christ desires, on how Christ desires us to live. This is why we need to teach and model Christian values and the Christian way of life which Jesus lived. His teaching is solid teaching. He truly wants a relationship with each of you. God's work is real. His love is good, and he will provide help for all circumstances. All we need to do is ask. All of us will be subject to storms, losses, and disappointments. The Deal family, the family that just lost their mom, Elmer, the dad, Spencer, one of the boys, came with me over to Ellen's house. They didn't know Ellen. I just offered to them, would you like to come and help this sweet lady? And they spent 3 hours rearranging and emptying. Were we on the third floor? The second floor. The second floor rooms. And while Elmer continued to work, Spencer and I went and sat in the car together. His mother was his rock. Did she fully explain to him about her faith? He didn't think so. We prayed, and I asked him if he thinks he could be strong and share at his mother's funeral, because that would mean the world to his mom, the world to his dad, and it would also acknowledge his love for her and his belief in God. And he did. He shared at his mother's funeral. It was precious. There's a reason for everything. If I didn't take Elmer and Spencer over to Ellen's house, I wouldn't have been able to talk with Spencer. I wouldn't have been able to encourage him to rely on God. I told him it didn't matter if he cried. It's a beautiful thing when you cry, when you lose someone. It's okay. And he did a wonderful job. He did a wonderful job. God is in control. Proverbs 10:25, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. It is necessary that we become doers of the word. My dad is a doer of the word. I have never heard my dad criticize or put down anyone my whole life. He listens. I never heard him argue. He may state his own opinion, but he will never put anyone down. I believe his father was very much like that. That's a gift. Really? That's a gift. Some people tell you things. They want you to jump right in and say something negative and continue that negative line. Where my dad would listen and go on. We have people here who are following his word by caring for others. Miss Lisa is here caring for her sister, whom she loves. Kathy is volunteering to drive Marion to church. People are providing food. I know Alverta calls Marion when she's not here to keep in touch, to calling for her friend. We are to be the doers of his word. Jesus spoke with authority and love to his followers. Theologian Charles Spurgeon wrote about those who heard Jesus speaking. Two things surprised them: the substance of his teaching and the manner of it. They had never heard such doctrine before. The precepts which we had given were quite new to their thoughts, but their main astonishment was at his manner. There was a certainty, a power, a weight about it, such as they had never seen. Can you imagine having the opportunity to listen to Jesus and how he shared his stories? This quote is from the Believer's Church Bible. Jesus' ethic is more than a community code. Because the kingdom is wider than the church, the ethics of the kingdom relates to life outside the church. It defines the way believers are called to live in society and reveals the will of God for all life throughout the world. Doesn't our world need the word of Jesus? We should be astonished and amazed by the words that Jesus has spoken. Some qualities of wisdom. When you listen to his words, we are provided a sense of moral reasoning. There's compassion in his words, humility. There's patience in his words, kindness. He lets people know what is important. And he helps us when we are dealing with the uncertainty. Those who seek his kingdom will find the courage daily to live a good, healthy life in today's world and to live for the coming of his kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for placing us in families and for giving us the understanding that parents are ordained by you. They are ordained to train up their children in the respectful fear of the Lord. In a world where honor and respect for parents and older mentors is becoming increasingly disrespected, we pray that children and young people will be willing to listen to words and to hold fast to the teachings of their parents and grandparents and wise neighbors. We pray your protection over families everywhere. May your name be honored and respected by old and young alike. To your praise and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.